John and I switched weeks. I was out last week, he's out this week, so you get me this week. Excuse me a minute as I get my notes on. Mark, how was it yesterday? What happened yesterday? Huh? You gave away your daughter in marriage. Well, congratulations, Mark and Lori. So, Mariah, you remember Mariah and Brandon as they start their new life together as one flesh. We celebrate that with you, and we're glad that occurred. So today, we're going to be, since John has been in the book of John for the last 6 years, and we have another 7 or 8 years to get through the rest of John, I thought, let's just stay in John. No. So I do want to step back a little bit, and let's just begin by just reading in John chapter 10. We're going to start back in verse 11 again, and we'll read a little bit of this, and then we'll just have some notes. I think today I have a recent scripture. I have some setup points. I have two points to make, and then kind of a closing. So we'll see how long it takes me to get there to that point. So let's read together in John chapter 10. And I'll just start. So I am the good shepherd, Jesus speaking. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. That's us, praise God. And I must bring them also. For they will listen to my voice, and so there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me. Because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. And this charge I have received from my Father. So, amen to that. Let me get my notes turned. Thank you. As we read through these set of verses, I actually went and counted them. There was a key phrase through here that Jesus was talking about. And he actually said it five different times, in verse 11, 15, 17, and 18. So in 17, there's a phrase up here three different times. He says, I lay down my life. And no one takes it from me, but I lay down my life on my accord and have authority to lay it down. And he said that also in verse 11, 15 as well. And if we go through this, I went and thought, okay, well, I want to... Occasionally, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I have a Greek translation, so I go and look. And so, here we go. So, that word that occurred five times through that scripture, apologize for my, I'm not a Greek speaker either, but I believe it's tithemi, right? So that word tithemi, if you looked at the actual Greek throughout that section, that is the word that was there. And I said, okay, what does that word mean? And you see what it means on the screen here. It means to lay down. Great. That's why the scripture said, I tithemi my life. But look at the rest of them. To allocate, to assign. To put in custody. To reserve. And last, to commit or purpose. So when we look at this thinking, all right, well, Jesus said, I lay down my life. I allocate my life. I reserve my life. I commit and purpose my life for my sheep. Gives it a little bit more different because when we first read that, which is true, which is the primary reading when he said this, I lay down my life, what was going to happen? Audience participation. The crucifixion, right? I give my life. I'm going to lay down my life for my sheep. But there's all these layers of that statement. I'm going to lay down my life for you. So today we're going to look through that. Jesus was the example of laying down your life. So this is my title today. We're going to speak to laying down life, to Thame. And talk a little bit about what that means. So let's begin. Obviously, Jesus were our example. And so let's begin. Why did Jesus come to earth? Why did Jesus take on flesh? John the Baptist said it, right? He was approaching John the Baptizer as he coming in, and John the Baptizer said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, it takes away the sins of the world." Right? The whole purpose of Jesus coming was that. And if we the most famous scripture in the New Testament, John 3:16. Even the unsaved know John 3:16 because I see it at golf tournaments. Right? You hold it up. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. This is key to what Jesus' purpose was. Now, I was thinking, even as it was not even in my notes, but I was thinking this morning, you know what? Jesus, go back here. He allocated, He assigned, He reserved, He committed, He purposed His life for us. Jesus is God. Amen? Jesus took on flesh. Amen? How long will Jesus have flesh? Forever. You thought about that sacrifice? You know, we keep thinking, well, He came, He born, He spent 30 years as on the earth in the flesh, and, you know, thank you, Jesus. You know what, when the Godhead had this conversation at the creation time, you can think of this conversation, you know, okay, let's create all this stuff, and let's create all of mankind. Great. You know they're going to mess up. Yeah, I know that. You know, we're going to have to take on flesh and be like them. You know that, right? Yeah, let's do it anyway. At the moment of creation, He knew that for eternity, He was going to be humbled in flesh. It's a glorified flesh. It's the one we sing hallelujah to the Lamb on. That's right. We sang that song 2 weeks ago, but I want to do it again. Because that glorified Jesus, you know how much He loved you? God took on flesh. Not for 33 years. We think, you know, always think, yeah, He was born baby. He spent the 33 years and He died and He resurrected. Yay! He still has flesh. He's the firstborn of the resurrection. You want to know why Jesus had to go so the Holy Spirit could come? Because flesh can only be in one place. He ascended to heaven. He's seated with God in the flesh right now. And He said, Paraclete's coming, right? So we all know the presence of God everywhere. We soon will be where we can stand and say hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb and see Him and worship Him. But I just want you to kind of get that in your head. Do you realize that He's in flesh for eternity? That's how much He loved you and why He's worthy of our praise. All right, so with that, laying down life, I have to do the John Wheeler thing. I have to do the alliteration. So this is not my points, but I had to get my alliteration into us so that I have the right to stand here where John's and do the alliteration. So I want to talk about when Jesus said, I lay down my life, over and over again. Three aspects of that. It was sacrifice, right? He came, that was the whole reason He came. Jesus came because we were doomed to our separation, right? Even at the start of creation, I know they had, you know, I wasn't there. I'm sure that conversation occurred. You know they're going to mess up. We're going to have to take care of this. Yes, let's do it. Jesus, when He said, I lay down my life, it was a sacrifice. He was going to physically give His life, but He took on flesh. He humbled Himself on your behalf. This was a sacrifice. Yes, we have hanging on the cross saying it is finished. I've completed it. I am the sacrifice. But that's what it is. He laid down His life, not just for that single moment, not just for 30 years. He laid down for eternity. That's how much He loves you. And He took our place. He interceded for us. He paid the price. And the price was to take away and deal with the fact that we're unworthy. It was a sacrifice. when he said, I lay down my life. It also is, I put, selfless. One of my favorite things is Philippians 2. Have this mind which was in Christ. That you consider others as more important than yourself. Right? Jesus, when you say, I lay down my life, it's a selfless act. I do it because I think of you, Jesus said, not for me. So, laying down your life, it's a sacrifice. You have to lay down your life, right? Do something you don't, not for you. It is selfless. It is thinking of others. And then finally, the key point of when he said, I laid down my life, it is absolutely sufficient. Absolutely sufficient. Our God was sufficient for all of my blunders, for all of your blunders, for all of your hideousness, for all that you are. His, when I said, I lay down my life, I'm going to intercede on behalf, and it is sufficient. Amen? Amen? So we have this idea of laying down life. Jesus did it. He says, I'm going to lay down my life. I'll be the sacrifice. I do it because it's selfless, and it's absolutely sufficient. So you're good to understand what Jesus, what when Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep, and you're the other sheep, not of the Hebrew fold, you're of the Gentile fold, and we're going to make one flock. Amen? And we're all in there. We're all under the Jesus crowd, and that's who we are. Excellent. So now, that's my setup. Now, I want you to remember when he said this in John at 17, he said, for this reason the Father loves me. Wow, that was a deep statement. Why did he say that? He said, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. It's good to know. It's important. Is this important to God? Yeah, right? He says, for this reason the Father loves me. Because that's why God so loved the world, he sent me. And for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life. So I have a picture for us. We're all in this picture. Jesus at the top. So you're sitting here, the me box, that's you. You get to put yourself in the me box. And then the people to your left and to your right and in front and behind you and down the street and at Walmart, they're the other box. So I thought, let's have a picture. It's easy to have pictures. This life, laying down of life thing. There's a reason the arrows are two-headed. Because this thing that Jesus established, and the Father said, I love, Jesus said, the Father loves me because I lay down my life. Jesus laid down his life for you. Jesus laid down his life for the person to your left, to your right, in front, behind, the others around us. But there's more to the story than that. Let me read for you real quick. I'm going to move forward. I think we were in John 12 last week. We're almost to John 13. I'm going to scan forward just a little bit to John 13. John 13 was, Jesus was saying, actually if you go to the end, Jesus said, I'm going to go away. And where I go, you can't come now. I like the word now. Right? He says, I'm going to go away. And where I'm going, you can't come now, but you'll come later. And then in verse 36, I don't have it, I'm just going to read it for you. In verse 36, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but we'll follow afterward. Then Peter said, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you deny me three times. So there is this idea in this diagram. We are. Because Jesus asked Peter, will you lay your life down for me? That was more of an instruction. Peter, will you? Will you lay down your life for me? And we got there. And Jesus was heading for the cross, and Peter asked it. And Peter, I'm sure, because I love Peter, because those of you that know me, I'm probably considered fairly impulsive. Mrs. Monica, would you agree? Yeah, I'm probably fairly impulsive, and I'm one of those. I actually, at my office, they say, Andy is the ready, shoot, aim guy. Did you get it? Right? I'm the ready, shoot, aim guy. Just so you know, that's not the order you're supposed to do it. Right? I shoot and say, did we hit the right thing? You know, so that's me. I have that nature. I go first and then find out, should we have done that? And Peter is the same kind of guy. So I love to read about Peter because he messes up just like I do. And then I get to see, yeah, well, Peter turned out okay, although he got sacrificed upside down. But Peter, you know, he said this, and he said, I know, because I know me, Peter is thinking of that one heroic moment, right? He said, because he pulled the sword and whacked the guy's ear off, right? Jesus, where are you going? I'll lay down my life for you. I know Peter's first thought was that one heroic moment, right? I'll take the bullet. And that's an important part of what we are, right? So when we look at this, will you lay down your life for him? And Jesus asked that question to Jesus, back to Peter. He said, will you lay down your life for me? And I'm sure Peter was thinking of physical life. And today, for us, will you lay down your life for Jesus? And there are many in our, if you want to be humbled, go to the Voice of the Martyrs website. Click on their map. Your brothers and sisters in Christ that are dealing with physical life issues is incredible. And there are people, not in this country at the moment, I'll say at the moment, really truly giving their life for the name of Jesus Christ. The Sudan and other areas, I read that one, you know, it's like even the government's stated goal by the government is to eradicate Christianity from their country. They want to be a Muslim country. So it's down to like 2% of Sudan is Christian. And the government just turns their head when they destroy their houses. They have to either convert or lose their possessions, lose their life. So there is that heroic moment that you might be asked about. Right now in this country, I don't think we're necessarily going to get martyred. But what about your possessions? What about the things you have to give up? Are you going to cling to your life, your physical life, these things of physicality instead of Jesus? Will you lay down your life for him? I know there's businesses that in this culture where the needle's moving farther and farther away from what we would consider morality. Challenges even in the legal system right now. Yeah. The bakers, the t-shirt makers, I don't know if the banners are here, right? That you have to conform to something that society has protected. Will you give up your possessions? Will you lay down your life for him? Jesus asked it. Will you lay down your life for me? It may be your physical life. It may be your physical possessions. That could very well, and I know that's what Peter was thinking when he told Jesus, where are you going? I'll lay down my life for you, Jesus. But what was Jesus' response to him? Will you lay down your life? The cock is, before morning, you're going to deny me three times. Jesus switched it. It wasn't just the physical life. It was the way of life. And with that, because he was saying that it's not your physical life that's going to be challenged tonight. What happened during the time? Remember he went over to the campfire and they recognized, hey, that's Peter. Aren't you one of Jesus' guys? And he said, no way. Three times. Even to the point of, I don't even know the man. And he cursed. The scripture says he cursed. That I don't know Jesus. I have nothing to do with Jesus. He denied him. And Jesus said, will you lay down your life? He wasn't talking about the fact, will you take a bullet for me? He's talking about when your way of life is challenged, will you lay down your life for me? Throughout Scripture, if we look at New Testament, and my Sunday school class can probably teach this for me too, you look at the word world. And throughout Scripture, that word really talks about three things. First, when it says the world, it's like Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And through Job, and this is the foundations of the world. So the world is, you know, this rock we're standing on. So when we look at the word world in Scripture, sometimes the Scripture is talking about the planet, the creation world. Another time when you see the word world, just as in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. World means the people. Okay? So another time we look at the word world, it talks about, well, it's the people. We are the world. Right? And then the third usage of that word, when they say world, means the world's systems, the world's values. Love not the things of the world. Love not the world nor the things of the world, for the love, he who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How can the Scripture say God so loved the world that he gives his only begotten son for it? And then he says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Because there's really, we're talking about three different things, right? So I want to make sure we're talking about this third one. The world system, worldly ways, the world value system. Marvel not, Jesus said, that the world hates you. Because it hated me first. So when we look at this laying down your life, are you ready to lay down your life? I just want one other cute stat. So Pew Services, they just released a study. You see that, saw the study. And the headline on this very liberal newspaper was Christianity shrinks, atheism growing by leaps and bounds. You know, the headline made it think like, you know, there's more atheists than Christians. But okay, if you look, but it's true. So let me give you some lovely stats. Here we go, stat people. From 2007 to last year, those that when the Pew, they do the research, you know, what are you? You know, I'm Christian, I'm Catholic, I'm atheist, whatever. What are you? Those that called themselves in the Christian world in the U.S., in the Christian community, it moved from 78.6% down to 70.6%. So about an 8% drop out of 100 that would say, what are you? Are you Christian, Catholic, Muslim, what are you? Those that would say, I'm Christian, went from 79% down to 70%. 8-9% drop. Those that would say, I have no religious affiliation, the atheist world, it went from 16% to almost 23%. Now I look at that and I think, didn't Jesus say broad is the way that leads to destruction, and then he said narrow is the way? If 70-some-odd% of people are Christians, why aren't they here? You know, if 70% of Polk County, which has somewhere between 20,000 and 30,000 people, went to church on a Sunday, we wouldn't have enough chairs. We wouldn't. If 10% of the people in Polk County came to church, we probably wouldn't have enough chairs. So I look at that and think, well, okay, well, I'm not sure what that stat really means to me at all. But it was interesting. We're living in a country that is making it harder to be a Christian. Right? The world looks at America and say it's a Christian country. They do, right? America's a Christian country. And you know, 3/4 of us would say we're of the Christian belief system. But it's going to get harder. You're going to have to mean it to say, I'm a Christian. How many of you, when you're at work, introduce yourself, hi, I'm Andy, I'm a Christian? Right? Probably not, because it'd be foolishness to their ears. But socially, when you lay down your life, for Jesus. What is that going to mean for us? Well, first off, you know, what does it even look like? And I wrote down this thing. I said, are you ready to lay down your life socially as your way of life? And, I'm sitting here preaching to us, and we all, we're doing okay, but let's continue. Let's do better. And what I said, what does it look like when you lay down your life? And I wrote down, you know, obviously it's your witness, and we're not to be silent because we're living in a place where those that aren't silent are not promoting Jesus. The most vocal ones, the loudest group is the group that grew from 16% to 22%. The loudest group is those that are not promoting Jesus. Why is that, church? Because we're silent. Because you don't want to lay down your life. Now, for some, I'm preaching today, so step on your toes. This gives me the right to get in your face a little bit today, so I'm going to. Are you laying down your life for Jesus? Are you shining something that says Jesus? Or are you hiding? And are you cursing at the campfire saying, I don't know him? Now, for some people, saying something with your voice, witness always, and if you have to, use words. You've heard that statement before, right? So what does it look like? What does it mean? You know, I just want to make sure that I think the biggest time is when you're under stress. Peter was under stress, right? He was challenged at the campfire. And why was he challenged? Because, well, I'm going to lay down my life, but everybody's here going to kill Jesus, and bad things are happening to Jesus, and I don't want to go do that. So just make sure that when we do this, I don't want to repeat the error of Jesus, who is thinking of, I will follow Jesus, and I will look for that one heroic moment. It's not just the one heroic moment. It's every day. That's laying down your life for Jesus. It's the times of stress, when you're tired, emotional, when your body's hungry. This flesh stuff, everybody have to do this in Sunday school too. Everybody do this. I want you to really do it. Grab this. Guess what that is? Grab it. It's flesh. Guess what? It hurts. If you don't feed it, it gets cranky. If you don't give it rest, it gets even crankier. Right? If it doesn't get its way, look out. Right? And guess what? You're going to have this until it gets resurrected and into a new resurrected body. You got this. And it gets tired and hungry and cranky, and you manifest flesh all the time. Don't. Self-control. What does it look like to lay down your life every day? I will, under stress, I will think to myself, this is, I will follow Jesus. What words do I have? So that's just my first question. I'll ask Jesus' question. Will you lay down your life for him? What does that mean for you? I don't know. For me, it's even my actual brothers, right? My brothers. My younger brother's a believer, my older brothers aren't. Will I lay down my life when I interact with them? Right? Just answer Jesus' question. Will you lay down your life for me? And don't think about the one heroic moment, because he said, no, before the rooster even crows, you're going to deny me three times, Peter. Will you lay down your life for me? I pray we do. I pray we hear that. The other thing every time I do the Peter story, remember after Jesus resurrected, he brought Peter aside and he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, I love you, Jesus. Just feed my sheep. Remember, Peter denied him three times. How many times did Jesus ask him, do you love me? And how many times did he reaffirm him and restore him back? You had three errors, I'll give you three times. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes, you know I do. Do you love me? Yes. The Lord says, I love you. And the key to all this laying down, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. After Peter messed up, Jesus went back to Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? Yes. Peter, do you love me? Yes. Peter, do you love me? Yes. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. So, he asked, do you love me? He also said, I think that's the key. So, key to laying down your life is love. Jesus loved you. You love Jesus? I pray the answer is yes. Because then Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for me? No. Greater love is no one than this, that they lay down their life for a friend. Well, Jesus said, no longer I call you disciples, I call you my friend. So we have to do the whole triangle thing. But that's why I wanted to, we can talk about Jesus to us to Jesus, but listen, Christian, the key, and what does laying down your life mean? It's based on, it's powered by, it's only valid if it comes from love. So, John, instead of John 3:16, 1 John 3:16, easy to remember. 1 John says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. So just as I asked the question, Jesus asked the question, do you love me? And I asked you, do you love Jesus? Do you lay down your life for Jesus? I'm also going to look at John 15, because right before this, what we just read, here's what Jesus was saying, I'm going to go away. And then it's what he said. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said, no longer do I call you my disciples, I call you my friends. He laid down his life for his friends. He also said, great, I put this up here in the next one. He also said, by this shall all men know you are my disciples. How? If you have love for one another. The badge, the identifying mark of a Christian. How do you know who a Christian is? What is the fruit of the Spirit when you stop being a bad tree and you become a good tree, right? You've been brought into the vine. Then you have the fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. Agape. So by this shall all men know you're my disciple when you agape one another. And agape means, if you looked at the definition of agape, sacrificial love. It's all kind of rolling together. Do you see the interconnection? Agape means sacrificial love. Sacrificial love is laying down your life. It's all about God. It says, by this shall all men know you are my disciples, when you agape one another. It's the mark of Christianity. You know, and then he said, just as I just read, greater love has no one than this. What's the greatest love? Jesus told us, right? Exam question. What is the greatest love in the world? The answer? Lay down your life for a friend. And it's not just that one heroic moment, might be, but did you lay down your life for a friend? Was it selfless, sufficient? It may have taken a long time. You know, what does it look like to lay down your life for a friend? I was out of town last Sunday, but you know, I think, church, let me encourage you. Last Sunday, the storm came through, and John's place got beat up with trees, and I called my son, and like, you know, whoa, what happened? Well, other than that, he's like, there are 40-some-odd people out there cleaning up trees. Well done, church. Because I'm pretty sure when you woke up last Sunday morning, you came here, you had plans for the day. I'm pretty sure it didn't include, let me go out north on D and cut up limbs. There is a picture of what it means to lay down your life for someone. Laying down your life means sacrifice. I'm going to stop what I had planned, and I'm going to show love here. Well done, church. Well done. Other things we have, I look at the church. Well done. We have Sunday school teachers, nursery workers. You get the email, someone needs food. Usually it's, I don't need you until, day 9. That's great. We're doing good things. The body, when there are life events, someone needs to move, someone, whatever. Life events happen, we show up for one another. Well done, church. Well done. We invest in one another's lives. We might disciple on the side. No one knows about it, but you are. You encourage one another. You might admonish one another. Train one another. We're laying down our lives for our friends, which just means I'm interrupting what I had planned for you. Are we doing that? So don't go weary. Other thing is that, there are seasons of things. I think I do want to probably say, well done, church. But then I want to use my step on your toes podium and step on your toes a bit too. Are you laying down your life? Because if I look through Sunday school teachers, there's not even a dozen Sunday school teachers. What's the rest of you doing? Let me really step on your toes. In the announcer for the past almost 8 months, for the last 8 months in the announcement, we need a Sunday school teacher for the 3rd and 4th grade. 9 months. We said, we need a, if you look at the bottom, go to your announcer, look at the last line on the announcer, it says, the 3rd and 4th grade Sunday school teacher needs a new teacher. For 9 months, we've had that in the announcer. Somebody who's supposed to be teaching the 3rd and 4th grade Sunday school class isn't stepping up. I don't know who it is. Now, don't get all, if you're not the teacher, don't worry about it. Because the Holy Spirit will tell you that's not for you. But if the Holy Spirit said, you're supposed to be teaching the 3rd and 4th grade Sunday school class, step up. I'm going to use the announcer. We've had the groundskeeping. Who can come help with groundskeeping? That too's been in there. Weeks and weeks and weeks. One of you out here, two of you out here, four of you out here, I don't know who you are. You're supposed to step up. But wait, I have other things I'm supposed to do, and I have to watch this television show that night because it's a television show. Laying down your life means you sacrifice. Laying down your life means you're selfless. And laying down your life means it's sufficient to be, you have the capability to do what needs to be done. Are you laying down your life for your friends? I challenge myself. I want to make sure that when I say, Jesus, I love you. I want to go where you are. I will lay down my life for you. Jesus doesn't turn around and say, okay, what you think you said by that taking the bullet for me? No. I just want you to confess me in front of the campfire in an hour. And you didn't. Because before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times, Peter. You don't know what it means to lay your life down for me yet. But then the Holy Spirit filled Peter, and Peter became this example, right? So let's understand what it means to lay down our life. The world around us and people are watching. The world, the people, they're hurting. They really want to understand hope. Where is hope? It's in you, church. Hope is in you to see your life because you have this hope. I can tell you of a few times in my work life that people that I work around, they come up and say, why are you that way? That's the greatest question. That I, you know, with as much humility and pride, I think, way to go, Jesus. Because I didn't say a word to them directly. I was just shining this hope that they had no clue. Why are you that way? Come on, church, show forth the hope. The world's out there hurting. And do you need to lay your life down for Jesus? Do you need to lay your life down for a friend? For your brothers and sisters in Christ? We do, I mean, I want to make the point, but you know, it's one of those, I call it the Oreo, the chocolate, you know, good, bad, good. We're doing well. We do really well. We have a great fellowship. We're healthy. But let me encourage us, don't just, no, when John coached me, he said, don't sit on your laurels. Okay. Whatever you did last week, great. What are you doing this week? So, the Lord loves you. He loves you now. He loves you tomorrow. He loves you eternity. So let us all encourage. Let me encourage us to say, I want to lay down my life for Jesus. And if I have that heroic moment where I need to take the bullet, I pray to God I will. And I pray that heroic moment when I'm like Peter standing in front of the campfire and someone says, don't you know Jesus? No, I don't know Jesus. I don't deny him in any way, but I promote him. I pray that each of us would show love to one another because we lay down our life for one another. And it may mean, you know what? I'm going to pick on Sunday school. Okay, I don't go to the adult Sunday school class. That's, you know, that's my only time I get to talk to adults in the whole week. Okay? Call someone up for coffee. But if you are supposed to be investing in someone's life, I'm picking on Sunday school. It's an example. Step up. Okay, so that's my sermon. I don't know how to close from here, other than encourage you. No, don't grow weary, Christian. It is a long road. It does, each day has trouble enough of its own. Jesus said that, right? You worry about tomorrow. Each day has trouble enough of its own. We know circumstances of life are that, the circumstances of life. And, you know, when Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. That was more of a promise that what you have will rust and moths will eat it and thieves will come steal it. So that's more of a promise than a thing. You know, it will. Don't get fretted out when that happens. But love one another. Encourage one another. Invest your lives in one another. In whatever God's calling. I don't know what God's calling you to. You have this relationship with Jesus. Just say yes to whatever he's telling you for that. For those, if you're here and you're like, I have no idea who Jesus is, we'd love to talk to you, let you know that he did lay down his life for you. I'd love to share with you, or we get someone else, what it is to know Jesus, to have that, to understand he did lay his life down for me. He does love me, and he is sufficient for all that I need. So with that, let me close in prayer, and we'll be dismissed. So, Father, I come to you, and I thank you that you love us. I thank that you love us so much. You are patient towards us. I thank you for just the life we have because of you, how you called us out of darkness and placed us into your marvelous light, Father. We pray your will is accomplished in each of our lives. We pray we would honor you. We would be full of faith. And just as I said, your will be done in our lives. May we hear your voice, heed it, and walk in your ways. Bless your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. You're dismissed.